This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
You know, it's a situation where for me, as the leader, everything starts with me. So with these players, with the coaches, it all begins there. I want to make sure that my personality and who I am never gets affected and never changes. And you know, we talked about it. There's a lot of things that have gone on this year in the first 5 weeks of the season that didn't really necessarily happen last year in the first season. So for me, I got to step back and look at the 30,000 foot view for me as to where am I at right now and how can I help make my part and make us better. And whatever that part is, whether that's X's and O's, whether that's leadership skills, communication, whatever that is. So I feel like I have a good grip on that.
Middays on the Score.
Top of the Hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Kevin Fishbane covers the Bears daily. He is on Twitter at KFishbane. He is on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Al Pamani Ford. So, Kevin, it was like drinking from a fire hose yesterday with all the Bears information that was coming, with Kyle Long being done this season, maybe forever as a Bear, probably forever as a Bear. Taylor Gabriel coming back. It looks like Mitchell Trubisky's coming back. What mattered most?
Yeah, you know, the thing that we talked about the least probably matters most, that Mitch Trubisky was back at practice and all. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that all signs point to him returning, but in terms of having the biggest impact on the team's chances to win on Sunday, the fact that Trubisky practiced and Matt Nagy said he wasn't on any kind of pitch count, of course he's still being coy about Trubisky's availability, and we'll get an official practice report Wednesday. But that's the biggest news, you know, because we obviously the report came out about Kyle Long, and you know, you can have discussions about whether a new right guard is going to make things a little better up front. And you know, the Akeem Hicks thing is bad, but that's also a thing we kind of had a feeling that was a rough injury, and it certainly seems like the way Nagy talks about it, he won't be back till December. But getting Trubisky back and even getting Taylor Gabriel back too, for a unit that has been pretty pathetic, that's huge for them going into the next, you know, 11 games.
What's Trubisky's availability to reporters? Does that mean anything necessarily for the game against the Saints if he dodges or does participate either way?
Yeah, so Connor, it's kind of interesting the way they do it now, where press conferences are before practice. So if you know, if Mitch Trubisky is going to practice on Wednesday, then I would imagine he will do his normal weekly Wednesday press conference. You know, if they want to play some games with it and say they're not sure he's going to practice, and then if he doesn't practice, they don't have available, you know, they can do that. But my assumption is, based on the fact that he practiced yesterday, that we'll hear from him on Wednesday. And that is kind of the wonky thing with injuries and media availability, is we have not talked to Mitch Trubisky since prior to the Vikings game. Mm. You know, when we got to talk to Taylor Gabriel yesterday, somebody chimed in with a question of, so Taylor, tell us about those three touchdowns he had in Washington, because we haven't talked to him since then. A little different situation because of the concussion. But yeah, so the expectation is if Trubisky is fine to practice Wednesday, we will get to talk to him then.
So Rashad Coward got the first reps with the ones in Kyle Long's place. Is this, do you think, an indication of their top choice as a replacement?
Dan, I think it comes down to Ted Larson. My hunch is the Bears, if Ted Larson's healthy, I think they would almost prefer to at least start with him. You know, we could see rotation at that position if Larson's healthy. We're a few series of Larson, a few series of Coward, as they kind of get Coward more acclimated to the spot. You know, we saw that last year with Eric Cush and James Daniels at the beginning of the year. We saw it late in the year with Kyle Long when he came back. So Harry Hiestand's not afraid to do a little rotation. We'll actually get to talk to the assistant coaches this afternoon. I'm sure that's something that we'll try to get at with Hiestand. But I think that Larson still has the leg up if he is good to go. And he was at practice yesterday, but I'm not sure what his, you know, we don't know what his part of his patient level was. You know, obviously, I think if you're looking at long term, if you're looking at high ceiling, you know, Coward, or even if you want to go to Alex Bars, those are the guys. But in terms of a stopgap and who you might have more trust in, a healthy Ted Larson would probably get the first crack at it.
Still sounds like they have absolutely no desire to reverse the switch they made with Daniels and Whitehair still around.
Yeah, they don't seem to be going that way. Another thing I'm sure will come up with Harry this afternoon. I don't necessarily blame them, Connor, for not wanting to make that switch back. You know, there are so many little things that are going wrong up front, and I don't know if you can really put it in such a vacuum that it's really that switch. You know, like, for example, I think some of the one-on-one blocks that James Daniels is missing, maybe you can correlate with the fact that he's maybe still adjusting with the reaction after he snaps the ball to engage with the defender, and he didn't have that as a guard. But, you know, it's the position he played in college. Obviously, it's different when you're facing an NFL defensive lineman, but I think that's something that's just going to come with time, that he's, you know, the hope is he's going to get better there. So, yeah, I still don't expect them to shift it. I mean, if they looked at this thing and said, this is the number one reason we're not running the ball, is these two guys, this just isn't working, then yeah, because so many other things are going wrong, it's easier for them to keep those two there and try to fix some of the other things around them.
Is Roquan Smith okay?
Well, he's practicing. I don't know, Dan. You know, my sense is that this could be something that lingers, that just never really gets talked about in detail, and you know, the Bears have to hope that whatever it is not going to impact his play on the field like it clearly did in London.
That's what I mean. Like, he played in a fog. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, and we don't know, and no one's going to tell us if that was just simple rust from having not played a game the previous week, or whatever was going on with him is really impacting him to the point that he played like that. I mean, he did not look like himself at all. And, you know, we'll talk to Chuck Pagano this week, and, you know, Chuck is not nearly as candid as Vic Fangio was, and I don't think Vic would go there either, because it's a sensitive subject. But, you know, it's worth wondering, if this is the Roquan Smith we're going to see for a while, why not use Nick Kwiatkowski a little bit more? You know, the Saints, you know, with Alvin Kamara and what they're doing there, you kind of would like a Roquan Smith. You'd like Roquan Smith every snap. You know, Roquan Smith, you draft Roquan Smith for this game to cover a guy like Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, yep, or when he's taking handoffs. So, we'll see what he looks like on Sunday. That's the best I can give you, because I just don't think anybody really knows. And I would imagine there's people inside that building that don't have a full grasp of whether or not he's going to be right, or when he's going to look like himself again.
What does it mean for Bilal Nichols to be back at least as much as he could be in practice for this defensive line?
Yeah, it's a good sign. You know, they need him back. I know we all, you know, we're so rightfully impressed by what Nick Williams did and Roy Robertson Harris in that Vikings game. And then I think we saw against the Raiders, you know, the reason those guys are backups. And credit the Raiders for having a great game plan, and they have very good offensive linemen. But Bilal Nichols is somebody this team internally was very excited about heading into this season. You know, it wasn't simply that second-year jump kind of thing that you're naturally looking forward to a guy doing that. There was a lot of promise that he showed last season, and then getting him that full off season in the program, and then to have this injury happen in week two and the setback. You know, he's not going to be, you know, it's going to take him some time playing with a club, but you just getting him in the lineup gives you more rotation, gives you more flexibility. You can't replace Akeem Hicks, obviously, and Nichols doesn't come close to giving you what Hicks did, but at least it gives you some more, you know, options when you're looking at that defensive line.
All right, everything I just asked about Roquan Smith, is Trey Burton okay?
I got a lot of questions yesterday, Dan, about the trade deadline from readers. We had a live chat, and you know, sometimes you look at it that, well, this is not fantasy football, it's not that simple, but the way the NFL is, you know, the past 2 or 3 years, you've seen a lot more trades. And the only position I could look at and say that's maybe one they would maybe take a peek at is tight end, because it's been such a failure. But they're probably still, and kind of maybe have to bank on Trey Burton getting right. And, you know, if this was 100% injury related, which I have no reason to think otherwise for at least the first five games. Does the bye give him that extra time where now he's going to start being a threat, now he's going to start being effective like he was last season? You know, this game Sunday is going to, you know, I don't think the Bears want Sunday's game to look like this. They don't want it to be this ultimate kind of, I hate the word litmus test, but I can't think of a better one right now. Like, we're going to look at how does the run game look? What's the offensive line without Kyle Long? How's Mitch Trubisky after the bye? Is Trey Burton anywhere near to what he should be? All those things, you would hope and expect that those things are better coming off of a bye week where they have self-scouted and he had to prioritize all the things gone wrong. And Trey Burton and the lack of production from tight end is so critical. It's such a problem right now that you would imagine that's been a big focal point. And seeing what he looks like against the Saints and how they utilize him will tell us kind of where they're at and where he's at.
Do they see getting Taylor Gabriel back as coming back to the core of receivers that they want to mess with, that they want to run? Or do they see other guys like Wims or maybe even, I don't know, Riley Ridley putting themselves into a position to get some reps, to get some more looks?
Yeah, well, I think Javon Wims in the Vikings game kind of showed you that you can have a little more trust in him and get him some more snaps in certain situations. You know, I liken him to kind of that possession receiver, gives you something that really nobody outside Allen Robinson does. You know, he can go up and get it. He can, you know, box out cornerbacks, things like that. Taylor Gabriel, the thing with him is there's nobody on the team like him in terms of what he brings you. And he's coming off that, you know, that great game against Washington. So, you know, you would like to think, Connor, that they would be a little more flexible. They'd give Wims some more snaps. But they've been pretty steadfast. When Gabriel Robinson had been healthy, that snap count for the two of them. So I err on the side of them kind of keeping that similar to, you know, they have a lot of trust in those two guys and wear that with the playbook. Riley Ridley is somebody is that a bye week correction? Is that something where they've looked at it through the bye, they're happy with what he's doing in practice, they think he can give them a spark? You know, the thing with Ridley, though, is, you know, he can play Gabriel's spot, he could also play Anthony Miller's spot. You know, what did they think of Anthony Miller coming out of the bye and kind of his weird game in London where he made that great play and had a couple bad ones? So that whole receiver spot, you know, they've tended to just stick with Robinson and Gabriel for the most part and let the other guys rotate through. And I would expect more of the same, but that goes back again to if they self-scouted something during the bye, maybe we see some more guys filtering through. I don't think it'd be a bad idea at all to try to just mix things up a little bit and give yourself some more options.
It's funny, Kevin, how you're balking at the idea a little bit about this being a litmus test when, look, it is. And it isn't just about individual positions. This is when you find out if your coach of the year is made up of something. This is that kind of week. Bad loss, the trip overseas, the bye week to put it together, the self-scouting, the honesty with which he said, yeah, there's some tendencies here that maybe we're giving some indications away here. This is when the NFL coach of the year has to be worth the, you know, what you hired him for. I mean, this is it, right? I mean, this, in any hopes going into this year of winning the Super Bowl, of maximizing this defense, I think it's completely fair to play up this game, this performance at home as a somehow defining of the early stage of Matt Nagy's tenure as Bears coach.
Oh, Dan, I agree with you. I was just embarrassed as a writer. I couldn't think of a better term than litmus test for the game.
We don't want to say measuring stick either. So,
yeah. Well, and I think, too, and I they will refuse to obviously publicly anoint this game what it means. And if they lose, they're not going to say, you know, like, because, you know, if they lose and the run game is still bad and Mitch Trubisky still is off, and they're not getting anything from anybody not named Allen Robinson, you know, then, I mean, if Matt Nagy thinks he's seen criticism the past couple of weeks, he's seen nothing yet. And yeah, it would be a terrible thing for this franchise if that's what happens. So yeah, I mean, this is there's so many things that they can answer with the way that they play. And the thing is, I mean, it's tough for them because obviously the Saints are a good team. The Saints have done really well with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. You're almost wondering when that run dies out. You know, I kind of thought they might lose in Jacksonville last week, and they kind of mucked up that game and played great defense and got another win. So you're waiting for that thing to run out, and you know the Bears can make excuses if things don't work out. The Saints are a good team, but I mean this is a game that the Bears should win. coming off the bye at home against a backup quarterback, assuming that it's going to be Bridgewater again. And if you don't correct the mistakes that everyone knows you have, and it's not so much just the mistakes we've seen the first five games, guys. These are the problems we saw last year. And that's, I think, the biggest indictment of Matt Nagy and right now in this offense is we saw that they spent so much time in the spring focusing on fixing the run game and giving their offense more answers and being able to score more points. And the only thing that has helped them score more points that was different is Eddie Pinheiro, which was at the position that was the biggest question mark. Everything else except Brown Robinson has taken a step back. So, yeah, if they, you know, there's a lot riding on the way these guys perform on the field and the way Matt Nagy schemes it up.
Kevin, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.